In Iraq, Afghanistan, or wherever they serve, Americans make a lot of sacrifices when they join the armed forces. Among the things they give up, some of their free speech rights. Soldiers face limits on what they can say, especially when it comes to publicly criticizing the military. The policy is designed to maintain morale and discipline, and as some soldiers have found out, violating it can have consequences. Here's NPR's Adam Hochberg.
It's not unusual for newspapers to run columns criticizing American policy in Iraq, but it is unusual to see a column like that written by a soldier fighting there. This summer, the Washington Post published an opinion piece by Army Reserve Captain Oscar Estrada, who was then a civil affairs officer. Estrada says his job was to help win the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people, but his article said some American troops were doing the opposite.
I wrote it because I would see day in and day out, that what we were doing was offensive to the local population. For example, driving and pushing people off the road in Humvees, pointing your weapons at vehicles, trying to get them out of the way. We were really upsetting a lot of Iraqis.
In the column, Estrada sympathized with fellow soldiers who face constant danger. But he also said he understands the anguish of Iraqi civilians who feel threatened by a foreign army. The article ran in June, and Estrada said it sparked an immediate reaction from his commanders and colleagues.
There were a lot of people that were upset, and I actually just got very scathing emails about how I should resign or be court-martialed or, I mean, stuff that was really angry.
In the end, Estrada was transferred to a new unit and lost his R&R leave, which he says forced him to postpone his wedding. He eventually decided to leave the service and is now back home in Virginia. Estrada says the military overreacted to his article.
I think there was value in the piece. I think there's value in every piece written by soldiers that are willing to share a different perspective than what's being put out by Pentagon briefers. I think they should be allowed to do that, and I think the American people have the right to hear those stories.
Military officials won't talk on tape about Estrada's case, but they said his column created so much tension in his unit he had to be transferred elsewhere. They also say he should have addressed his concerns with his commanders rather than expressing them publicly. That response doesn't surprise John Cook, a retired brigadier general and former Army judge. He says soldiers who make their opinions public risk being seen as disloyal.
Like any organization, I think the military would prefer that issues or problems be raised internally. There's an especially strong culture in the military with the emphasis on the chain of command and the importance of unit cohesion and morale that, we keep our problems in the family.
Several times lately, frank comments from American troops have raised eyebrows, like the reservist who recently challenged Defense Secretary Rumsfeld about a lack of vehicle armor, or a Marine who became a minor celebrity when he appeared in a documentary that questioned the war. Military experts say it's easier for troops nowadays to express their views because they have access to email and sometimes work with embedded news reporters in the field. And Attorney Dean Falvey says today's soldiers are less afraid to talk because many of them come from the Guard or Reserves.
They are stepping out of civilian life in which they are quite accustomed to expressing their opinions as a citizen freely into a situation where they're subject to military discipline. And that, not surprisingly, is leading to some conflicts.
Falvey, who's written on military law, says free speech rules in the armed forces often are vague. Commissioned officers can be court-martialed for contempt against officials, but that hasn't happened since the Vietnam War, when an Army lieutenant criticized President Johnson. More commonly, the military deals with such matters quietly. Vociferous lower-level troops might be reassigned. Officers who say the wrong thing may be forced to retire. Eugene Fidel heads the National Institute of Military Justice.
Below the level of the courts-martial, which play out in public, there's further kinds of informal sanctions, such as a transfer, losing a set of orders to a valued school, potentially losing a promotion. Many of those sanctions are very much below the radar.
Fidel, who represents soldiers in military court, says it's difficult to predict what kind of speech might draw punishment. The Pentagon has said it will not discipline the soldier who questioned Rumsfeld about armor. And the Marine who was in the controversial documentary says he wasn't punished either, though he was banned from appearing again in the media. Fidel says military leaders have to study each case individually before deciding if a particular statement crosses the line.
It may ultimately resolve into, like pornography, I know it when I see it. These issues are very sensitive because we want to protect the exercise of constitutional rights, and yet we also want to vindicate some other interests, such as having an orderly military that keeps its fingers out of the political pie.
Fidel says despite a few cases where troops suffered consequences for speaking out, he sees no widespread effort to restrict soldiers' rights to express themselves. Indeed, he says the armed forces today seem more tolerant than they ever have been. Adam Hochberg, NPR News.